Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken and coffee editors talk from our products. I'm Melinda Legos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We have a great show for you today. Andy, what's wrong with you?
You look perplexed. No, my mic
is... Kathy's coughing.
Making noises.
You're looking perplexed.
We need a little WD-40 going on over here.
Andy Cohn, what's
new? Yeah, I'm here.
It looks like you're doing big things with Counselor magazine.
Big things.
What's happening?
Big redesign for the May issue of Counselor.
I can't wait till the unveiling.
It looks spiffy.
Very, very soon.
Kathy Houston is here. Apparently with some allergies this morning. How are you, Kathy?
Oh, I've been hit with those, too.
The usual. What's happening? All right, now we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, I think. But the Advantage is mid-April regional sales issue is coming out. And what region showed the most improvement?
Well, you think about it until I talk about it.
Oh. Wow.
Which means she hasn't gotten to that point in her notes yet.
That's called Kathy teasing us.
Joe Hay, Lamberman's favorite managing editor, is in the house. What's new, Joe?
A lot of things.
Give us one.
Well, I mean, last week it was in the 80s, and, you know, people were putting down their, you know, roofs and their cars and the sunroofs.
It was cold.
And this
out.
Morning it was cold.
And all I wore was this.
All I wore was this.
I don't live in Philly.
All I speak is English.
You don't watch the news in the morning to get the weather forecast?
I watched the news at 5:30 this morning, and I still didn't get it.
Michelle Bell, everyone's favorite supplier global resource editor, is here.
Of the many suppliers.
Favorite and only.
Michelle, you have a new convertible. Did you have the top down this morning?
No, though I did have the heated seat on, and it was so nice.
Aww. Rooster is in the house, and he's going to be making all kinds of sounds this morning.
Rock
Vinny
on,
Driscoll's going to be answering your phone calls, and he wants to talk to you. Call Vinny, 215-953-4979. Today's call-in question, how can I work more efficiently with suppliers? If you have any ideas on how to better partner with suppliers or questions, call us, 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air today, not only do you get to talk to Vinny, but, Joe, what are we going to give you?
$25 Visa gift card, and Rooster's going to play a sound effect.
Yes. All right, get ready, Rooster.
See, there it is. There it was.
Two for the show. I'm going to put hash marks here. How many we get today.
All right, Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, Michelle, our favorite editor of Supplier Global Research, has a look at the top supplier mistakes that supplier companies are making in this industry. Kathy's going to look at the geographic area that is the ripest for at specialty sales, how to turn around an underperforming sales rep. Well, Andy's got to look at that. And why working more than 40 hours a week is useless. Michelle smirks as she looks at me. And
Grandpa,
Kathy has something called, what's the haircut index? And we were talking about haircuts before you came into the studio. I got one at my barbershop on Friday.
I got one at my barbershop on Friday.
All right.
Actually, I got
I think
salon.
I did too, actually.
Fantastic. Let's
and we
news.
Also have our favorite things, and Andy's got the news.
Just dive right in. All right, we begin this morning with Top 40 Financial News. Distributor and uniform company Cintas announced last week that it increased sales by 8% in its most recent quarter. CEO Scott Farmer said the company is pleased with the performance of all of its divisions. Online marketing news now. The FTC yesterday called for greater regulation of the data that internet companies collect about customers. The commission's final report on online consumer privacy also calls for a provision allowing people access to the information that's collected on them. Sad news to report now, John Mezzatesta, an account executive with supplier firm Goldbond, passed away last week after being diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor. Mezzatesta, who had also worked for Bit Graphic and Advolite, was only 38. On to apparel news. A new report from Moody's Investor Service says the anticipated ongoing decline in cotton prices could lead to higher margins in the apparel industry this year. Moody's predicts that gross margins will grow an average of 1 to 2 percentage points quarter over quarter, starting in the third quarter of this year. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, instead of shooting your finger at me,
pointing at you,
tell us what's hot for today.
Hey, we have 100% alcohol-free foaming hand sanitizer, which is great for summer camps, daycares, and trade shows.
And we have multiple eyeglasses.
Well, I have my reading glasses on so I can see this. With these glasses, I can't see, and I have to do this thumb. And Michelle calls me Poppy.
All right, now we're going to take your calls at 215-953-4979. Tell us what's on your mind, or we're especially looking to talk about how to work more efficiently with suppliers. If you have any ideas on question or questions on that, call us, 215-953-4979. Online, too, this morning, we have Phil. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
You know, I recently had an awful experience with a supplier. They charged me to cancel an order, even though I never actually authorized it to proceed. What's the best way to handle these disputes with a supplier?
Michelle, what would you suggest for Phil?
I would suggest, actually I'm having a little bit of hard, I had a hard time hearing that question, so.
Would you like me to repeat it?
Actually, can one of you guys repeat it? It's him, I can't hear so well.
Sure, Phil has a supplier who is charging him for canceling an order, and he actually hadn't authorized the order to be placed. It was, I guess, just under discussion. So what would you suggest?
What I would do is I would not waste your time talking to one of the customer service people. I would go right to a manager or the owner of the company and just kind of cut out the middleman, because it seems like you've already spent enough time dealing with the problem.
All right. And also, you know, I hopefully use ESP. If you can't get this resolved in a, you know, in a efficient way, I would recommend going on ESP, because, you know, you have a chance to rate suppliers and mm-hmm. to also voice your concerns.
Okay.
Andy?
You know, I would say that you would, the best thing you could do throughout the sales process and your process dealing with suppliers is to document everything. So I don't know if you have anything in writing that shows that you hadn't yet authorized that deal to go through. But if you did, then certainly that's great evidence to show to a supplier. And like Michelle said, I would try to go up the food chain a little bit and, you know, talk to a manager or somebody who heads up their customer service department. You know, the least that they could offer you is you know, that money that you're paying them towards the next deal that you give to them or anything like that, assuming you want to work with them again. But, you know, there's always a solution. It just might take a little bit of creativity.
All right.
All right, thanks. Well, good luck, Phil. Thanks for calling. And stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Sure.
On line three, we have Stanley calling from California, I'm assuming. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, great, great. I have one more box of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies, and we can talk and see how good I'm doing after that. But
right. So, do you have a question or a comment about working with suppliers, Stanley?
Well, both. You know, it's interesting. I like free stuff just like anybody else, and I try not to make that the most important thing. But, you know, a couple of days ago, a couple of suppliers, I just needed one T-shirt sent, and, you know, we're trying new suppliers, and, you know, I had to either type up a PO or give a credit card for one shirt, and I made some extra calls, and one of our regular suppliers, you know, they sent us some, you know, some free samples very openly. And I'm finding that that the suppliers that work with us the way we kind of need to work with our clients, you know, where they need some stuff done and, you know, getting some free samples and whatever, I find that it a lot of suppliers are really trying to open up the channels and do whatever they can to kind of partner with us and help us get the sales. And but my question is, a lot of us distributors, you know, you pick your favorite suppliers. Do you think it's good to trim down your list of suppliers and start using the same suppliers, a shorter list over and over again, or is that kind of not a good idea?
I always think it's a good idea to work with a set number of suppliers. Certainly, we're not saying that you can't branch out if you're a chosen. You see somebody who does something new and different, you can give them a try. But I think if you have a set roster of maybe two or three companies that can do apparel, and, you know, maybe 10 that can do a variety of hard goods, first of all, by using them more often, you kind of get, you know, you build a relationship better, you have better status with them, mm-hmm. They get to know you, they're more willing to make concessions and to help you when you're in trouble. I just think that it can be sketchy. It can be dodgy to use a supplier that you're not as familiar with.
I'm going to take the other side a little bit. I think that, like Michelle said, partnering with suppliers, and Stanley, like you said, is important. You want to partner with the companies that you feel the most comfortable with. But I wouldn't limit yourself to just a few suppliers, because you don't. Then you might be not seeing exactly the greatest new products that other suppliers are coming out with. I don't think you want to limit the number of suppliers that you work with so much that you're not seeing everything new that's in the market, and you're not getting, you know, new ideas from other suppliers. You know, you want to be careful in that area a little bit, I think, because, you know, your business is more important to you than it is to those suppliers. And so you want to make sure that you're seeing all the new ideas and getting new things from as many suppliers as you can. They have great ideas, but if you're only limiting yourself to just a few, then you might be only getting those perspectives, and you don't want to limit the types of perspectives you can get on promotional campaigns.
Good point, Andy. Gotcha. All right, Stanley, thanks for calling. Hope we helped, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
By the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say, one other thing that I really really embraced over the last couple of years is using the sales reps to go on end-user calls, and I had one set up for yesterday. She brought in the entire line of clothing, and we're closing a 500 to 1,000 piece order because working with the reps, it is such a great partnership, and it really shows the client that you really have a good relationship with these manufacturers. So I just thought I'd add that.
That's a fantastic point. Yeah, I think we all advocate that, and I know I remember Andy us on stage at a Power Summit recently where we asked the audience. Asked distributors whether they trusted suppliers to go on sales calls, and like half said no, they didn't trust them.
I think it might have even been more than that.
Yeah, and we were shocked because it's such a great opportunity, and those like Stanley who have done it have only reported really great results. I mean, you know, they can do things like bring their whole line and things that you can't do as a distributor. So, I mean, if it's someone you have a good relationship with, why wouldn't you take advantage?
Definitely, and we just had an article in April Advantages, which is just getting mailed out now, but about how suppliers can help you, and that's what suppliers say. Like, trust us. We're here to help you, and you're here to help us. So take us with you on your sales calls. And
that speaks,
like
though,
that.
To building relationships with certain
exactly,
suppliers.
Exactly, right. Absolutely. That was their other recommendation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do
you
have
to be careful
have
that it's not a fly-by-night
group.
Supplier.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks so much, Stanley. Nice talking
Thank
to you.
Bye-bye.
Michelle, I think we had a Facebook comment on this topic.
We do. We have, it sounds like a complaint from one. Jennifer Moyer says her problem with suppliers is sending distributor samples without having the item numbers on them or any sort of identification. I've heard this before. So she says recently they had 4 shades of yellow hats come in from the same manufacturer, but no way to tell which the identifier for each shade. So she basically has 4 hats with 4 different colors, but no way to tell.
Yeah, that's kind of silly.
And that's something really simple and easy to fix.
Right.
It is.
So it just makes sense.
Mind. Absolutely. All right, we have another caller on line 1. It's Tara. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question or a comment?
I do. Well, I'm a small distributor. I've been in business for a little while. And in general, I really like my suppliers. I haven't had problems. But sometimes I just kind of get the feeling like my suppliers don't give me the same level of service as competitors that are larger than I am, like bigger companies. So I was wondering if you guys have any suggestions.
Well, no, I know, Michelle, you've done a lot. You've done some panels at the shows on how to develop better relationships with suppliers. There are things you can do as a small distributor to get, you know, I don't want to say preferential treatment, but what are some things that might be helpful?
I would say to go visit the supplier. They love when distributors come and visit them for open houses. Take advantage of bringing your distributor rep on sales calls. I would say anything you can do to build the relationship. A lot of distributors, I think, or a lot of suppliers know these days, you know, so many I've talked to, they know, the smarter ones, that big orders can come from really small distributors. It has nothing to do with the size of the distributorship. So the really good suppliers will give as much attention because, you know, I'm thinking of one in particular where a top 40 supplier went to visit a one-woman operation in her house, and they kind of, the two guys that went kind of rolled their eyes and thought, oh, God, this is going to be a waste of our time. And every year she places to the tune of $400,000 with them. So you just never know.
So you never know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I hope that helps. Thanks so much for calling, Tara. And
thank
stay
you.
On the line
it does
for your
help.
Gift card. Great. We have another caller on line 2. Heidi. Good morning, Heidi.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Do you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I had a comment kind of similar to what Michelle was just saying. But I wanted just to put out there, you know, don't be afraid to ask for assistance from these suppliers. I found that when I'm going to them and asking for suggestions of what have they seen, you know, sell well in the industry that I'm in the medical industry, there are some items that they come up with that I never would have thought of, you know, that's a top seller that they see as a good seller, and I pass it along to my customers and get some really good success. So that's always good to just go with them and get some suggestions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a
Again,
great point.
Trust, you can trust and rely on the suppliers that you have good relationships
mm-hmm.
with. Great. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Heidi, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Now, we've been talking about suppliers this morning, and Michelle, you have some top mistakes that suppliers make. What are they?
Yep.
Look at you, mister.
Three.
That was a good one.
These mistakes were based on an informal poll we did of distributors, actually. So what distributors said is they'd like to see more – this is not a surprise. We talk about this before – more follow-up after a trade show. Mm-hmm. We talked to some distributors who said if they don't hear from suppliers within a week after the trade show, they might as well just forget even following up with them because the information they needed, the samples they needed, whatever, is now become useless. Because they move at such a quick pace. Yep. The next thing is self-promotion campaigns. They would like to see more self-promotion campaigns from suppliers. A lot of distributors said that they get their ideas for how to do campaigns based on what suppliers send to them. And they all pointed out how striking it is that considering that this is what suppliers do for a living, very few of them actually send self-promotion campaigns. We'll post these all online, but the only other one I would say is that was a huge complaint among distributors is mismanaging inventory. It can be really difficult for suppliers when they're trying to place multiple orders with multiple suppliers and to keep track of what's out of stock on any given day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Michelle, do you get the feeling sometimes that suppliers almost think they're not necessarily in the promotion business, but they're more in like the manufacturing and imprinting business? Like they almost forget, like they have a big factory and they got, you know, 100,000 square feet of space. And they have all these machines and stuff, and they manage all that, and that's its own business, and it really has nothing to do with the promotional world. And I think they forget so often. That's why they're not running those promos.
They do. The only unfortunately, I would say the larger ones that have, you know, a whole department that's dedicated to PR or marketing, they're able to do it more. But the midsize and the smaller guys, which are the bulk of the suppliers, they don't because, you know, they're just so busy actually handling the manufacturing, mm-hmm. the QC, the production, things like that.
Right, yeah. I think they forget what business they're actually operating mm-hmm. in.
All right, and Michelle, suppliers will be able to read more about this in the next issue of Supplier Global?
They will, and we'll post this online.
Okay, great. Check it out at asicentral.com/radio. All right, we've promised to talk about which region in the country is the ripest for ad specialty sales. Now, before you tell us, Kath, and I know the answer, so I'm not going to guess, Andy, Joe, and Michelle are going to guess all the regions in the country. What region are we going to say which sold the most or which had the most improvement?
Which sold the most and had the most improvement.
And is that the same?
That's the
same region.
All right. And so the regions we have to choose from are Midwest, South.
South, Midwest, Northeast, and West.
Midwest.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, Andy.
Northeast.
I'm going to go with the
Sorry.
I'm going to go with the South.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the West.
It's the South. What do we
Thank you. Thank you. That's
Believe it or not, yes.
I wanted to get the wah-wah.
The South is the number one revenue producer, and the numbers are really impressive. It's tapping in at a whopping $7.1 billion this year.
Wow.
Just for the South.
That is whopping.
And that's like over $1 billion over last year's $5.9 billion.
So why is the South doing so well?
Well, it's led by the states of Texas and Florida. When I asked our executive director of research, Larry Bassinet, he told me in very professional language that Texas went freaking nuts. So, yes. Yeah, so
that's research speak.
Yes, it is. But Texas is really prolific in job creation. That's one of the reasons. Also, the South is attractive for corporate locations, business travel and conventions, obviously. The Republican National Convention is going to be there in the South this summer. So people expect a boon to their sales as a result of that. Manufacturing is coming back in a big way. In 2010, there were 594 large-scale corporate projects announced in the South.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive. And suppliers and distributors are reporting a popular trend has been, and this I think holds true for every region after the recession, it's been in employee-focused promotions mm-hmm. where you're keeping, you know, you're rewarding your loyal employees
retention,
for staying with you and taking on the extra work during the past few years.
Incentives are definitely on
incentives
the
are well. Up. And also top industries in the South remain healthcare, education, technology, entertainment, sports, and oil and gas, and alternative energy is seen as the next big thing.
Now, also, in terms of Texas, did you know that all of Andy's exes live in Texas? Isn't that right? Well, am I wrong?
Rooster, do you have a sound for when a joke falls flat?
Andy also has friends in low places, right, Andy? Oh, that's the same sound.
It's okay. It counts. It counts.
Wow,
she's
right.
Joking.
Check out the
It was such a good joke, it made her choke.
And it rhymes.
As long as I crack myself up.
That's fine. It's all really. That matters.
All right, so we're going to check all this out in the mid-April issue of Vantage. I have one other question. I know the West has a lot to come back from.
Right.
California, really hard hit.
Yes.
I think that it showed a lot of improvement as well. Is that right?
It's down slightly, actually, the West.
Really?
Down slightly.
So it didn't improve from last
it
year.
Didn't
last
improve.
Year,
it
there was a
well,
huge
I would
improvement
imagine last
from
year.
The year before.
Exactly. Last year, there was a big improvement. This year, it held pretty steady, down just a little bit.
When you say this year, you actually mean 2011,
I mean
right?
2011. Yeah. Yeah.
I would say, though, for 2012, distributors I've talked to from California are doing really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the distributors that our writer talked to, yeah, they said they're doing really well. And they see things coming back, too. So there's signs of life, and there's optimism everywhere.
All right. I like optimism.
Abounds.
Andy Cohn.
Speaking
you've got
of
an
optimism.
Underperforming sales rep.
Yeah.
You've got an underperforming sales
yes.
rep. What do? You fire them?
Not immediately. You
okay.
have to put a plan in place to try to help them along.
Why do you
Would
tell
you
us?
Like to know what's in the plan?
I would like to
oh,
know
Oh, okay.
Plan.
Here we go. So I'll put this article on our website, but here's a few points that managers can do. First is to track their activity, and it's not just like standing above them and seeing what they're doing on a daily basis. It's actually conducting a three-month assessment of their performer, gather information like the number of calls they make, the percentage of those calls that actually turn into a conversation with the decision maker, and then the percentage of those calls that are actually turning into a deal. Track those for 3 months, see what they're doing, see where you think they should be doing more, and then address that shortfall with this poor performer immediately. You know, it's a three-month assessment, but I would say after the first couple of weeks, you'll get an idea as to if they're not making enough calls, or maybe the conversion from call to conversation with decision maker isn't as high as you would like it to be. Find out where that shortfall is and address that with the your sales rep and see where they could actually do better. Then when the 3 months are over, you know, and you've measured everything that is important, sit down with them, show them where they're not doing what they are, what they should be doing, what you'd rather them doing better. And specifically look at the number of sales calls that the rep averages per day. It's always a number that with just a little more effort could be higher. And I would say along those 3 months, make sure that every week that number is getting higher so that you can convert more sales. You know, the more calls you make, the more sales you can convert. So try to help them along just with that the three-month assessment. If things are terrible after the 3 months, give up and fire.
All right.
There you go.
The job market's heating up. There's a lot of good candidates
there
out there.
That seems so sad at the end, though.
It is sad.
Captain Killjoy.
It is sad. But
with.
You know what? The worst thing the managers do is sit on bad employees. And
yeah,
you don't,
that's true.
You can't afford that in sales, especially. So
right.
don't
right.
hesitate. Help them along, but then don't hesitate if you think things can't get better.
I think that it's a little humorous that this next topic is going to be covered by Joe. But nevertheless.
Wow.
Joe is going to tell us why working more than 40 hours a week is useless. And this is from someone who calculates the hours everybody in the office works.
Untrue. So, yes, a lot of startup companies, they get started and they work long, long hours. And they think this is a great thing to do because, you know, I really love this business and I want it to be successful, so I have to work long hours. But that's wrong. According to a handful of studies, consistently clocking over 40 hours a week just makes you unproductive and very, very tired. So does everyone know the origins of the 40-hour work week?
No.
It's oh, my
thing.
Lord, Cliff Clavin.
According to this article in Inc. magazine, it goes back to the unions and stuff. They didn't want, you know, workers, you know, to work long, long hours, so they were able to institute a 40-hour work week. But this country really, you know, accepted that back in the 30s or 40s and the 50s. Everyone thought it was a good idea. But that kind of changed over time. People were working longer hours. But what they found is that you only have 8 productive hours in the day. Every person has 8 productive hours.
Some people have 5.
Yeah. But the study finds that if you work 10 hours, you know, more, you're not going to produce more widgets. So if you increase your work day by or your work week by 50%, that's going from 40-hour week to a 60-hour week, you're not 50% more productive. In fact, you're less productive. You're like 25% more productive.
So productivity starts falling
off. It starts to fall off. You know, the people are tired and you're doing things, you know, twice because you didn't do it right the first time. And they say that while overtime is necessary – And it's important and it's good.
Working on a big project.
Right. And that's limited though, you know, so.
Right. It shouldn't be consistently.
So everyone in this room should stop working 40 hours a week.
Did you hear that, Kath?
Stop working more than 40 hours a week.
I will.
If you're not working 40 hours a week, you should be working 40.
No.
That's not in the
study. Useless.
All right.
We're going to post this later on asicentral.com.
We have some Facebook comments.
Thanks, Joe. Go ahead, Michelle.
Don Michael Gordon from Safeguard Business Systems, and this is about the suppliers. He said the biggest mistake that he's come across is their lack of communication when something changes with the order, just not taking the time to reach out to the distributor and explain that, that maybe it falls through the cracks. Another one comes from Carlos III. Is that a king? when suppliers do not give enough information about the package in order to quote the freight. And that's another, that's a big problem I hear, is a discrepancy with freight costs between suppliers and distributors.
So don't do that if you're a supplier.
Don't do that.
Communication.
According to King Carlos.
King Carlos III. The third. Communication is always distributors' biggest complaint about suppliers, whether it's like
and
the
I'm
first
sure suppliers,
writer was
to
saying,
be fair, have similar complaints about distributors.
And they
by
do,
the way.
No doubt. They don't fill out POs the right way, and you know they make it so much more difficult to try to fulfill an order. Absolutely, it's both ways, but it's something for both sides to work on, is making sure you're communicating throughout the whole order fulfillment process.
All right, so a few of us have had haircuts recently, including Kathy Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a good look. Can we get a close-up on Kathy's haircut?
Oh, my God.
All right, so apparently, you know, the rate at which people get haircuts is indicative of other things.
That's right, and it's up. Guess what? It's up. To six,
so
every
does that
6 weeks.
Mean the economy? What's the,
what's
that,
every 6 weeks?
What's the upshot of this, Kathy?
Okay, people are getting more haircuts, Andy, and that is a good economic indicator because when the economy is bad, people.
What if you don't have any hair? Oh, sorry.
I get my haircut every 10 days.
See that? That's because Andy's rich. And he doesn't even have any hair to get cut. But anyway, according to research by SageWorks, which provides analysis of privately held companies, sales at hair salons are up 5.37% since 2009, while hairdressers' profit margins averaged 7.8% over the last 2 years. And this is supposed to be a great economic indicator because when times are tough, people just let themselves go to...
Well, so apparently because they'll color their hair at home instead of going to a salon.
And that always works out well.
Right.
There's always the cereal bowl method of cutting hair, which is
that how you give your kids haircuts?
All right, another optimistic piece of news.
Everything's optimistic for me.
Everything
you know that.
Is coming up roses. All right.
Captain Optimism.
We have, we're running out of time here.
Oh.
Michelle has the 5 worst things you could say to a customer. I assume that's besides, you know, 4-letter words.
Yes. Cool. You know what the most annoying one is?
It's not my job.
That's on
I
the
can't
list.
Help you.
I don't know.
When you call somebody
it's
and lodge a complaint, it's not our policy.
Oh.
Because that basically is indicating to you that the person on the other end of the phone is just shutting down and telling you you have no other recourse.
And they're not at all empowered to do anything.
They're not at all empowered.
Oh, I see. So the policy of your company is to anger customers.
When somebody calls to lodge a complaint and you're put on hold, I know, Joe, this has happened to you, for an interminable amount of time.
Oh.
And when they come back and they say, we're not going to be able to help you because it's not our policy, which is even worse. One other thing that seems to be happening more and more is customer service people trying not to help you, but to redirect you to their website.
Oh, yeah, they would love that.
They would.
Mm-hmm.
They
self-service.
Don't want to talk to you.
No. So empower people. That's really the upshot of this. Let people and, you know, they do this at Sanmar really well. Marty Lott, who's the CEO there, lets his people, as long as it's not something huge and major that's going to, you know, shake the company to its foundations, he lets them deal with problems right on the spot. Customer service people who answer the phone are empowered to handle problems and any sort of crisis that comes up. Which is
that's
the reason they're
the
known
best
for the
way
customer
to do it. Yeah,
service.
Mm-hmm. Because then it can be handled immediately. If you have bureaucracy on top of the customer service person, then you're wasting time. You know, then the customer's
yes,
not
make it
get
easy
their,
for the customer.
Their problem solved.
All right, that's we're going to post this online at asicentral.com/radio, and we have just enough time for our editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Kathy, shoot.
Okay, mine are chill towels from
Chill
Towels.
Chill towels.
Yeah, the supplier is Chill Towels, and. Their ASI number is 48507. And what's cool about these is that they're individually wrapped, self-cooling terry-cloth towels, so you can use them over and over again. And, you know, the temperatures are rising. Well, not today, but they have been. And these would be great for summer camps and fishing, boating, all kinds of outdoor sports and activities.
All right, Andy, what's your favorite
product? Mine's a golf product because as Kathy said, the temperatures are rising. So let's go play some golf. It's a pair of metal badges that actually connect to club covers and keep the club covers in place so that when the wind blows, your club covers don't fly all over the place. Check it out on asicentral.com/radio. It's from Isinger Smith, ASI 51810.
Joe, you've got something purple and
gold. I do. This is a braided titanium necklace. It's three different colors. Pro athletes like to wear these because they help with energy flow and muscle fatigue and let them focus on the task at hand.
Yeah,
a lot of pitchers wear these. So it's a great baseball, softball promotion for high school teams, college teams, and if your clients are running baseball tournaments, what a great thing to put in the little gift package.
Was that, that done for the Lakers?
That was not, but a gift package for all the teams that are entering. That's available from Superb. That's ASI 90230, and it's www.superbline.com.
All right, Michelle, why don't you bring up the rear?
Sailor. Mine is from Putty World, and I just cannot stop playing with this thing. It's from ASI 47056, and they do putty here, Kath. Grab this.
They
side.
Do putty.
They do putty. And it can be PMS matched to anybody's logo colors. And
it's like a jump rope.
You could jump
rope. It's just so cool. You just can't stop playing with it. And the tin is what gets imprinted. And the tin is a nice size with a nice imprint area. So,
that's
again,
awesome.
This is from Putty World. I know it's so much fun. It's a great executive gift.
All right. We're going to have all these products online at asicentral.com/radio. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. We are out of time. Be sure to check us out next Tuesday when Andy Cohen's going to be calling in from ASI San Diego.
Ooh. Yeah.
Have a great week.